Well, good afternoon, everyone. Certainly good to see all of you once again, and we have so many who are here today, so that's really a blessing. And I'd like to welcome all of those of you online as well. I know we have a number of you. And as was mentioned in the prayer, we're grateful from what we've been hearing that most everyone in this area has been okay from these storms. In some other parts of the country, it's not been so good, and especially just about 10 miles north of here with what happened at that Amazon building. So, again, that's why we need to ask God's protection for every day and for all of our fellow members. Today in our Bible study, we're going to finish the book of Malachi, and that also will finish our series on the study of the minor prophets. So last time we concluded with Malachi 3 in verse 12, in which God answered a question, in what way shall we return? And God said, in tithes and offerings. And so we discussed that last time, the need to remember God and not to rob from Him. And now we come to another question, because as we've been through Malachi, we've seen that he writes with God posing questions and then proposes an answer and then further discusses this with the audience. So let's pick it up now in verse 13 of chapter 3. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. So that's a declarative statement, and yet you say, what have we spoken against you? So he says, your words have been harsh, and then he puts it into their frame that you're saying, well, how have we done that? And then God is saying, you say, it's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Now we call the proud blessed, and those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. So Israel was telling God, it's useless to serve you. There's no benefit by it. There's no profit in it. And what we see is that the proud are being blessed. The wicked seem to be doing okay. They get away with murder, and it seems like they're all doing well, so there are no consequences. So why are we having to serve you and do all of these things to serve you, and they are the ones who seem to be blessed? And, of course, you know, you look at the society today, and we could look at the same things and wonder, how is that happening? Why is that happening? It seems that these people can go on and on and on and on and do what they want to do with no consequences. So what people in Israel were doing were jumping to a wrong conclusion. Perhaps they were seeing the prosperity of the wicked, the temporary prosperity, and it seemed that they were being blessed and they weren't in any trouble. So why do all the work and effort to obey God? Well, God says that was harsh. That was harsh. That attitude was harsh against him. A wrong attitude. So let's keep our place in Malachi. We'll be coming back and forth there. And we will look at Psalm 73. The author of Psalm 73 was Asaph. He was one of the musicians. And he wrote this psalm. It actually begins a new book in the Psalms, Psalm 73. Book number 3, actually, the Psalm of Asaph. Let's just read verses 1 through 7. Truly, God is good to Israel. So that's a good comment. He recognized that, yes, God is good. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. I almost did something wrong. I came close, but I did something wrong. Almost slipped. Because I was envious of the boastful. I saw the prosperity of the wicked, There are no pangs in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than the heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walks through the earth. They seem to be getting along pretty good as he's observing this. So, one thing that Asaph did was think about this, what he had seen. And notice in verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God and I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. He reasoned it through. He came to the right conclusion that God is good to Israel. And God is good to those who are pure in heart. And no matter how prideful the people are, and no matter how wicked they are, they will fail. They will fail. They will not succeed. Asaph also realized that God would be with him. Notice this in verse 22. I was foolish. I was ignorant. To even think of those thoughts. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. And that's a conclusion we have to come to as well. That God is with us. He holds us up. He's right there with us. He counsels us. And he will give us glory. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at it that way. Israel was not looking at it that way. And that's what God said. The words that they were saying at that time were harsh against him. All right, let's go back to Malachi 3 now, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord listened and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. So now you have a contrast. You have people who are fearing God, and they're speaking to one another. Now here's a possible thought, and some of the commentators bring this out, and that is that in the context, it could be that the righteous get together and they discuss what was discussed earlier in those verses and what Asaph discussed. And you look at the world around us, and I know we all talk, we all see what's going on, and we don't have our heads in the sand, and we can't understand how it seems like so many so much hypocrisy is out there and people seem to get away with it. And what we find here is that we realize that God hears us. We talk with one another, but God is listening to us, and he hears us. He sees what we're doing. We're seeing others out in the world around us that seemingly are tempting God and getting away from it, but God is seeing us. He's seeing that we're trying to do what is right. We realize that in this day and age, people are not yet called, and they're going to do things that they just don't know are wrong yet. They will in the future. But the point is, we need to be talking to one another. That's what it says. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And then a book of remembrance was written before him. Those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. And so this book of remembrance is the book of life. Let me give you two reference scriptures here that you could put down, and we won't turn there. But Exodus 32, verse 32 to 33, Moses said, actually told God he'd be willing to have his own name written out of the book, but God said, whoever sins against me will be blotted out of his book. And then Revelation 20, verse 15 says, all that is said and done, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that's what will happen to the wicked. But to the righteous who speak to one another and who do fear God, what we find, as we saw earlier with Asaph, we will receive glory. So we now come to verse 17 to 18, and we find that they will be mine, says the Lord, on the day that I make up my jewels. I'll spare them as a man spares his own son. Then you will again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. So, again, this relates to those of us in the church, not because we're anything, but because God was merciful and he gave us his mercy. We are going to become his jewels in the resurrection. But Malachi is also talking about the fact that you will again discern. You will again. In other words, people at that time were not discerning. But in the future, after Jesus Christ returns, there's going to be the millennium, and then there's going to be the second resurrection when people will be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong. And people today don't have that discernment, what it means to keep the spiritual aspects of the law. They've not been taught that, and they will, though, in the future. But that's so encouraging to see that we will be, they'll be mine, says the Lord of hosts. I'll spare them as a man spares his own son. We get now into chapter 4. Behold, the day is coming. So we're now talking about this. The context here is the end time. It's burning like an oven. Yea, all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. The day is coming which will burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. They will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, this can be referring to the time when Jesus Christ returns, as well as the time just before the new heavens and the new earth. Let's look at two scriptures on this. Let's look at three scriptures, actually. Psalm 37, verse 9. Psalm 37, verse 9. We'll read through verse 11. Evildoers will be cut off. Those who wait on the Lord, they'll inherit the earth yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it will be no more. But the meek will inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So we know that's after Jesus Christ returns. Let's look at verse 20. The wicked will perish, the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, will vanish into smoke. They will vanish away. So that ties in right here with Malachi. And then we see Isaiah 66. Let's look at Isaiah 66. Verse 14, Isaiah 66, verse 14. Isaiah 66, verse 14. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and your bones will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For the Lord will come with fire and with chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword the Lord will judge all flesh. The slain of the Lord will be many. So again, we see the end result of the wicked, especially at the time when Jesus Christ returns. But also, we see something else in 2 Peter 3, in verse 7, 2 Peter 3, and verse 7. And notice how the what will happen right before the new heavens and new earth. 2 Peter 3, verse 7. The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. So it starts off with the return of Christ, then all the way through that time of the millennium, second resurrection, then finally, all those who are the incorrigible will be thrown into the lake of fire. We see here that then the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And the earth and will be, and all that's in it will be burned up. And then we're told what manner, in verse 11, what manner of persons ought we to be, knowing this will take place. So you see both Malachi is referring to the time when Christ returns, but also at the time when just before the new heavens and the new earth. All right, then we come to verse 2, Malachi 4, verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Now notice that it says S-U-N and not S-O-N. So some have asked, well, you know, God was so against the sun god. And Baal, the sun god, why would he refer to his own son as the S-U-N? So how would we answer that? Because that question has come up. So, first of all, let's look at the name of righteousness. Of righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I'll raise to David a branch of righteousness. And this is referring to Jesus Christ. And notice the phrase, of righteousness. A king will reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. So what we find here in Jeremiah is talking about Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ of righteousness. He is the Lord of our righteousness. Ties in a little bit here with what we find in Malachi about the Son of Righteousness. Now, why the Son? Let's look at three New Testament scriptures that we can use to tie into this understanding here. Let's look at Luke 1, verse 78. I mean, Luke 1 is a big chapter. It's a long chapter. 80 verses in that chapter. There's a lot there. But let's look at Luke 1, now verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring on high has visited us. Or literally, the dawn. Day spring, the dawn. Now we know that the dawn comes when the sun rises up. And so here we find which the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness, shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of life. It's referring to Jesus Christ. All right, let's now look at 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, that you do well to take, to do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And we know again, it's referring to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that God gives to us from God and Christ. But here we find in Revelation 22 and verse 16 a more definitive statement. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Bright morning star. Well, we know the sun is a star. But here we find that he's the bright morning star. He brings light into the world of darkness. So when we find over here in Malachi 4 about the S-U-N of righteousness, it's referring to Jesus Christ. It's referring to Christ coming. Now there's something else here in Malachi 4 verse 2 about you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. So not only when Christ returns, he'll bring healing with him in his wings. And it's the millennial setting of Christ coming and healing people, you know, giving them sight and giving them hearing and making the healing the lame so they could walk. And he'll feed and he'll prosper people, provide them with physical food, and they will grow in population as well. In fact, I'll just read this here. In Isaiah 30, verse 23, it says that he'll give you rain for your seed and bread the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. So we know God is going to bless the world with lots of food, lots of produce. And so that's referring again to the time of Christ. Malachi 4, verse 3. You shall trample the wicked. There'll be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. So again, this reference about the wicked being trampled, like Asaph came to recognize, the wicked will not have their place. The righteous will, but not the wicked, and they will be trampled. Not only at the time of Jesus Christ coming, when the wicked are burnt up, but the wicked will be trampled as well before the new heavens and new earth. Now, according to Jewish tradition, this, verse 1 2. Now, it come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the cursing that I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. So after you receive the blessings and the cursings, you're going to be in captivity, and then this is what's going to come to you. And you will call to mind, and you will return to the Lord your God, and you will obey his voice according to all that I have commanded you, you and your children, and with your heart and all of your soul. The Lord God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord God has scattered you. Notice verse 8. So again, this is at the end time here. Verse 8. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and do all of his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. So that is what Israel will do in the future. This is what we need to be doing now, keeping the law and the commandments of God now. So why is it going to be so important for those of us who fear God and speak to one another? Why is it so important that we remember and keep the commandments and the statutes of the law and remember the law of Moses? It's because as we enter the time just before Christ returns, Israel is going to be inundated with idolatry and with deception. A delusion so strong that it could very much deceive the very elect. And so we've got to be really close to God. We have to be, need to be, and ought to be keeping his law both physically and spiritually to remember the true God, to remember the law. Now, within the same context there, here in Malachi, then we come to the conclusion of the book and of the, what you would call, the summary here. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It's a little different than chapter 3. Chapter 3 talks about the Elijah, as it says, I'll send my messenger before you. And we talked about that earlier. He'll prepare the way before me. Here we find, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And this is what he'll do. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the father, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Where there's nothing left. But because of the elect's sake, that won't happen. So we have another one coming before the day of the Lord. So what does this all mean? Well, we'll discuss that in a little bit in the sermon, just shortly to follow. But this now concludes our series on the minor prophets. And I'm hoping to start a new book or a new topic beginning early next year for the Bible studies. And if you have any preferences, please let me know. If something you would like to see covered, we can plan on doing that. There's a number of things that we could cover. I'm thinking about covering one book, but that could take years to go through. It's a quite large book, quite a bit of material in it. It's fascinating. But still, you know, I'd like to hear some of your thoughts and ideas, and maybe we can incorporate some of that. So we'll have another hymn and then the sermon.